Chapter 55.
We must break out tonight.
LaRue looked across the fire at Zietzmann.
No,
the old man spoke softly, not looking at him.
Why?
Demanded LaRue.
We can hold these hills. They cannot drive us from them. Yeah, we can hold them tomorrow, 2 days, a week. But then it is finished. We lost 50 men today from the guns. They lost many hundreds. The Lord smote them and they perished.
Zietzmann looked up at him now, and his voice gathered strength.
We will stay here and place our trust in the Lord.
There was a murmur of agreement from those who listened.
Mynheer,
LaRue covered his eyes for a moment, pressing fingers into them to still the terrible aching.
He was sick, sick from the lyddite, and tired, tired to the depths of his soul. It would be easier to stay. There would be no dishonour in it, for they had fought like no men before them. 2 more days, and then it would be over, without dishonour.
He removed his hands from his face.
Mynheer, if we do not break out tonight, we never will. By tomorrow we will not have the strength.
He stopped, for the words came slowly, slurred a little from a brain dulled by the lyddite and the hammering of big guns. He looked at his hands and saw the suppurating sores on his wrists.
There would be no dishonour. They would fight this last time, and then it would be finished. But it is not a matter of honour, he mumbled.
Then he stood up, and they watched him in silence, for he was going to speak. He spread his hands out in appeal, and the firelight lit his face from below, leaving his eyes in shadow, dark holes like the sockets of a skull. He stood like that for a while, and his rags hung loosely on the gaunt, wasted body.
Bachers,
he started. But the words were not there. There was nothing except the need to fight on. He dropped his hands to his sides.
I am going, he said with simplicity. When the moon goes down, I ride.
And he walked away from the fire.
One by one, other men rose and followed him, and all of them were men of his own commando. 6 men squatted in a circle and watched the moon as it touched the hills. Behind them the horses were saddled and the rifles stuck up from their scabbards. By each of the 600 horses a burgher lay fully clothed, wrapped in his blanket, and trying to sleep. Though the horses stamped and moved restlessly, there was no jingling of bits, for all of them were carefully muffled.
We will say it again, so that each of us knows his part.
LaRue looked around the circle.
I will go first with 100 men and follow the river towards the east. What is your route, Hendrik? South, through the cavalry until the dawn, then round towards the mountains.
LaRue nodded and asked the next man.
And yours? West along the river.
Yeah.
And yours?
He asked each in turn, and when all had answered, the place of meeting is the old lager by the hill of Inchlozana. Is this agreed? And they waited, watching the moon and listening to the jackals squabbling over the British corpses on the plain. Then the moon went down below the hills and LaRue stood up stiffly.
Tot ziens, kerels. Good luck to all of us.
He took the reins of his pony and led it down towards the Farl, while in silence 100 men led their horses after him. As they passed the single wagon beside the Padda, old Zietzmann was waiting, and he came forward leading a pack mule.
You are going?
He asked.
Ja, mynheer, we must. God go with you.
Zietzmann thrust out his hand, and they gripped briefly.
The mule is loaded. Take the money with you. We will not need it, yeah.
Thank you, mynheer. LaRue motioned to one of his men to take the mule.
Good luck. Good luck, general.
For the first time, Zietzmann used his title, and LaRue went down to the perimeter of their defences and out into the veldt where the British waited. With the first pale promise of dawn in the sky, they were through and clear, though twice during the night, heavy outbursts of firing in the darkness far behind them showed that not all of the escaping bands had been so fortunate.